The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Hey, it's football game day. Bring up that camera so that I can see how I'm dancing around. Oh, phone's on. I can't take it. There we go. Good morning. Welcome to Thursday. We're all giddy because it's a football game day in Arizona. In for Brad, I'm Jeff Munn, radio voice of ASU women's basketball, ASU football pre- and post-game radio host. I think I got something to do tonight. Stadium voice for America's hottest professional soccer team, the 16-win-in-a-row Phoenix Rising FC. That's it, right? I haven't picked up any other gigs since Monday. We're here. Filling in for Brad, who continues his recovery from double knee replacement. If you're connected with Brad on social media, you can follow his progress, and he's doing very well. And we're here, and we're glad to be here on a Thursday. This is a big football day in the Valley. Both the Cardinals and ASU play tonight. The Cardinal game, and we'll get into it in a minute, maybe not quite as noteworthy as the ASU game, but still, it's football, so there'll be plenty to choose from this evening, both of the college and pro variety. Everybody in the NFL plays tonight because they want to get it all done tonight, and the teams can make their roster decisions over the weekend. So that's going to be a big topic on our show today. The voice of the Sun Devils, Tim Healy, who will call tonight's ASU-Kent State game at Sun Devil Stadium, will be with us. I don't think I said this to Eric, but I thought to myself, gee, if you can't hear our chat tonight on the Sun Devil Countdown to Kickoff show, stay tuned because you're going to hear the same thing in about 15 minutes. Sort of. I'm only kidding around. Bill Gutekunst, AZ Gannett, or AZ Central and Gannett chief film and media critic, will be with us. He had an interview with a former ASU player that is now gained quite a bit of acclaim as an actor, but not in the conventional sense. Isaiah Mustafa, who has made quite a name for himself in the Old Spice commercials, is going to appear in a movie called It. And we'll talk about that with Goody. And he will share with us some thoughts about a column he wrote over the weekend about the Cardinals-Vikings broadcast from last Saturday and how he has drawn the wrath of Minnesota Viking fans. We'll talk about that with Goody coming up. A little few other things to get to, but of course we can't do a show without the e-cam, so let me put my powers of mental telepathy to work. Bring in the e-cam. And there it is. And I went split screen today because I've had a second cup of coffee, and so the brain's working a lot better. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Money. How are you?
I'm great. We're all ready. Does TCU play tonight or they play Saturday?
They play Saturday. They're playing Arkansas.
Ooh.
Yep, Arkansas Pine Bluff.
That's not a soft landing into the season, is it?
It's a tough matchup against Arkansas Pine Bluff.
Yeah. Oh, Arkansas Pine
Bluff. Oh, no.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Must have missed that.
Yeah, well.
Well, hey.
That's all right.
It's all right.
Football season,
it's,
you know?
It's football.
It's everyone's preseason in college football. Well,
you
not
and I but. Feel the same way. It is great to have college football to talk about. And
you're either a Saturday guy or a Sunday guy.
I'm more of a Saturday guy. I always have been, always will be. I don't discount the impact and the power of the NFL, but I so much more enjoy college football over pro football.
Have you been asked, Money, the same question I have for the last 3 weeks? So how good is Jaden Daniels?
I've been asked
that a lot.
I've been asked more about the team because I don't – let me say this the right way. I don't think fans are quite locked in on Jaden Daniels yet. I think it's one of those deals where they're not going to realize that ASU's got a freshman quarterback until he gets under center tonight. And that's not to say people aren't paying attention, but they, you know, the people I talk to tend to focus more on the known than the unknown. So they haven't asked me a lot about Daniels. They've asked me, how many wins do you think ASU will have? Which I guess ties into Jaden Daniels. And I keep going back to the number 7. And I say that like, I'm the count on Sesame Street. Today's number is 7.
Vegas agrees.
Vegas agrees. Look, we talked about this a couple days ago on the show. I know that there are people in town, in fact, I know two of them that work at the Republic, that are absolutely convinced that the road game at Cal is just going to be like a walk in the park. I just don't agree. I think it's going to be a really tough game. I think ASU is going to have a tough time at Utah.
I think, for sure.
I think when they go to UCLA in November, that's going to be a tougher game than people think. Because like last year, I think UCLA will be much better in November than they will be now. And this year with their non-conference, because all I'm saying is I think the conference is tough. I know the Pac-12 gets bashed a lot.
As it should.
But I do think it is a good conference. It's a stronger league than last year. I think the South is going to be tough. I think the only team, well, maybe it's two. But going into last Saturday, I thought the only team that I think is going to really struggle in the South is Colorado, just because of the coaching change. Now I think maybe I'll lump Arizona into that group until I see otherwise. But you take the other four teams, Utah, USC, UCLA, ASU, I think they have all legitimate reasons to think that they will be in the hunt come November.
And U of A gets a pass. I'm sorry, they get a pass. It's game one. You're going to see a lot of bad football this weekend.
Yes.
You're going to see teams not playing well that have picked to finish really high in their conference, really high in the polls. You can't simulate playing another team until you actually play another team.
I agree with you, and I think the trip to Hawaii does pose challenges that other trips for college football teams do not pose. And I am willing to wait and on a judgment about Arizona until I see a couple more games. But clearly, they had defensive liabilities against Hawaii.
And they were a double-digit favorite on the road, and that's a game you should win. I totally get it.
I'll tell you something else. They had special teams issues that I have never seen before with a football team. I think I talked about this Monday.
Mm-hmm.
They had lined up for a field goal in the fourth quarter. They got penalized twice and had to burn a timeout because they couldn't get set.
That's right.
That's inconceivable to me that could happen. But, okay, I'm willing to hold judgment on them. But I do think just because of the coaching change, Colorado's got an all-world wide receiver in Laviska Shenault. But I think just the change in coaching, it's going to be a difficult transition. Although Mel Tucker's a fabulous football coach, and I think he's going to do great things in Boulder. I just don't think it's going to be this year. But obviously, there's a lot to chew on tonight football-wise, and let's get into talking about what's going on in the world of sports, and it's brought to you by Sagicor now. If you are starting to think about what you would do in the event something happened to you, what would happen to your family, that's a good thing. But put thought into action. Contact Sagicor now. Let them tell you about how they can provide you with the peace of mind that you need, knowing that they'll be taken care of, your loved ones will be taken care of if something happens to you. Sagicor Now, that's the place you visit on the web. And we thank Sagicor Now for their support of the Brad Sesmatch Show. Indeed, two football games tonight. The Cardinals will wrap up their preseason tonight in Denver. All jokes aside, this is a critical game for a lot of guys in uniform. The starters won't play. If you are watching this game tonight, you are a complete diehard NFL football fan. I'm not knocking you for it. I'm just saying you really are pro football, not college, because none of the starters will play. But this is an important game to the coaches and the players because they have one cutdown date this year, and this weekend is it. So literally everybody that plays tonight is playing to secure a spot on a roster in the NFL. And it's a tense time for the players. So it is an important game from that aspect. In terms of, are we going to learn anything more about Cliff Kingsbury's offense? No. Are we going to learn anything more about Vance Joseph's attempts to shore up the run defense? No. No, we're not going to learn any of that. That's going to start a week from Sunday against the Lions, and it's just that simple. ASU, on the other hand, will kick off its regular season tonight, hosting Kent State, Sun Devil Stadium, 7 o'clock. High-powered offense for Kent State. That'll pose a lot of problems. And certainly it'll be an interesting test for the freshman quarterback, Jaden Daniels. We'll talk more with Tim Healy about that coming up. Big four-game series for the D-backs tonight starts at 6:40 at Chase Field. They'll take on the Dodgers. I'm going to share some thoughts a little bit later on in the show about what the remaining 5 weeks look like for the D-backs. This is a pivotal series in a lot of respects, but we'll talk more about it a little bit later on in the program. And really, that's about it in terms of, you know, Brad always says August is kind of a tough month. This is a tough day because nobody played last night locally, and everything's kind of in front of us. But starting tonight, it'll start getting a lot busier, including college football. And the radio voice of ASU football, Tim Healy, will join us in a moment to preview tonight's season opener with Kent State. And take notes, because we'll probably just repeat the whole thing coming up on the pregame show tonight. And you're getting it here first, so stay tuned. We'll visit with Tim next on the Brad Sesmat Show. Just a little loopy today. We're back after a break on Sports360AZ.com. Back on the Brad Sesmat Show on a Thursday, the season opener for ASU is tonight. Now, friends, college football teams get lots of practice sessions before the season, but the broadcasters don't. So what you're about to hear is our practice session for our opening segment of Countdown to Kickoff tonight. We're going to try out the questions, see how they work out. Joining me now is the voice of the ASU Sun Devils, Tim Healy. And again, take notes, because if this works, we're going to repeat it word for word tonight, starting at about 6. First of all, Tim, how are you?
I'm great, Money. You know, it's weird. I was thinking the exact same thing as you were leading into this, the exact same thing. It's like this is our warm-up session, because as you said, and as Herm has made note of several times in the last week, no preseason games in college football.
No.
Not only does that apply to the team, but it also applies to the broadcasters. And he's worried about penalties and drop passes and sloppy play. And I guess I'm just worried about getting mushmouth in the middle of a 50-yard touchdown run by Jaden Daniels. So we all have our issues we have to deal with in the opening game, but deal with them we will. And it's great to be working with you again on our network. And this is pretty cool, our little dress rehearsal.
Yes, it is. I want to ask you a question about tonight as it relates to Jaden Daniels, but go a different direction. We've all, you know, everybody is talking about he's a freshman. You've got to get him as many reps as possible. But if this game goes the way we all hope it goes, if you're Herm Edwards, do you stay with Jaden Daniels longer simply because you want to get him as many snaps as you can?
Well, interestingly, I mentioned something about that to Herm yesterday after I pre-taped our interview, and I guess that should be a spoiler alert for fans when Herm joins us on the Countdown show right before kickoff. That's not live, folks. We do pre-tape that. But
oh, no!
No, man. It's like, I won't say anything about Santa Claus, I promise.
Okay, but, thank you.
I asked him about that, and interestingly, my sense from his answer is that I think he would love an opportunity to get the backup Joey Ellen some snaps, because that's something that hasn't been talked about at some, but not quite as much. The fact that not only is Jaden Daniels going to be the first ever true freshman starting quarterback in a season opener in program history, but the number two guy on the depth chart is also, just like Jaden Daniels, a true freshman, but a talented true freshman. And I got the sense that I think Herm would love to be able, if possible, and if the game dictates, to get Joey some snaps and some plays under his belt in the opening game, because you just don't know, frankly, when those opportunities will come down the road.
It's interesting, too, because when people talk about the freshmen at the one and two spots on the quarterback depth chart, they focus on, gee, they're so inexperienced. But then you look around the rest of the offense, and I find it interesting that people haven't talked a lot about the experience at the wideout position. N'Keal Harry obviously leaves. First-round pick in the NFL. But you look at what they bring back in guys like Ayuk and Frank Darby and Kyle Williams. There's great experience all around both Jaden Daniels and Joey Yellen, including the offensive line.
Yes, indeed. And, in fact, visited with Rob Likens a few weeks ago, the offensive coordinator. And I tell you what, Rob, he admitted freely that he'd be having a lot of nervous moments right now starting a true freshman quarterback if the other guys on the offense were equally youthful. But as you said, you've got an offensive line that has a lot of veterans. There's a chance that four seniors will start tonight in the O-line. You have, as you mentioned, experience at the wideout position. Kyle Williams and Brandon Ayuk are seniors. Frank Darby is a junior. Don't forget backup Ryan Newsom, senior, who's had some moments in fall camp. You have the best running back in the Pac-12 in Eno Benjamin, a third-year junior, and two guys backing him up in Isaiah Floyd and A.J. Carter that are returnees, although A.J. is a redshirt freshman, played briefly last year. And the tight end position, your first starter there, Tommy Hudson, is a terrific senior and a very talented freshman behind him in Nolan Matthews. But you're absolutely right. I think the fact that Jaden has so much experience around him, that will help in his indoctrination to the college game. And another interesting thing Coach Likens told me is that as far as Jaden and having a security blanket available, he's got one right behind him, the guy that wears number 3 on his jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Because as Coach Likens said, you know, Jaden has the right and has the go-ahead from his coaches. He can check down to a running play anytime. If he gets up to the line of scrimmage, and Rob said, even if it's 3rd and 10, and he sees something that he's just not comfortable with, they are totally fine if he checks down to a running play and hands off to Eno Benjamin. And because, you know, Eno Benjamin's the all-time leading rusher in Arizona, single-season rusher in Arizona State history, 5th in the nation, primed to have a huge year this year as a junior. And the Sun Devils offense, as Coach Likens said, if you compared it to a pyramid, the foundation of the pyramid would be running the football. That's what they want to do, and it's what they did very well last year, and they're happy to have their freshman quarterback check down to a running play if he's not totally comfortable. I think the two words you might want to think of tonight are comfort zone, just to see what kind of comfort zone Jaden Daniels is in. And the thing that Coach Herm and Rob have talked about all fall camp is how calm and collected this young man is. His demeanor is very much like that of a veteran. He takes things in stride. And every time he comes off the field, it might be something for fans to watch tonight. The first thing Herm is going to want Jaden Daniels to do is to come to him. And I think Herm wants to look in his eye and just see the look in the kid's eye and to see if everything is still, you know, going slow and things are calm and he's taking everything in stride. And then Jaden can go get on the phone and talk to Coach Likens or whoever else he needs to discuss things with on the sideline. But that's one thing to keep an eye out for tonight. And I do think the experience around Jaden Daniels is a huge plus for him that will help him in his indoctrination to college football.
Tim Healy, the voice of the Sun Devils, joining us here on the Brad Sesmatch Show. Let me flip it over. I think this is a good test for Danny Gonzalez's defense, too, because while some people may look at Kent State and say, hey, they only won 2 games last year, but they have a very talented quarterback in Woody Bennett. And Herm has said the biggest challenge tonight is try to keep him in the pocket and don't let him improvise. And that sounds like what they're going to face against a few quarterbacks once we get into Pac-12 play.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Money, as far as, you know, yeah, it's easy to look at the record, say 2-10, and in fact, there was even a column in the paper today just basically saying Kent State's a cupcake, and I do not look at them that way at all, and I know Herm and his staff and his players don't either, because they do have an offense that can test you. It's one of those high-octane RPO run-pass options, spread offenses. They're going to spread you out. They want to run as many plays as they can. They averaged, I think, 77 offensive snaps per game a year ago, and they want minimal time between plays. So I'm going to have to talk really fast tonight, and Van Rapphorst is really going to have to be brief in his analysis. Because when they got the ball, because there's like 13 seconds that they want, no more than that, I think, to elapse between plays. So it's going to be fast, fast, fast. In fact, their team mantra, I think, is flash fast.
Yes.
And you know, it's obviously they're the golden flashes, but that's how they want to do it. And you mentioned Woody Barrett, their quarterback, 236 pounds. You don't see too many RPO dual threat guys as big as Woody Barrett. Last year, he was their third leading rusher. He ran for over 500 yards and 7 touchdowns, besides throwing for over 2,200 yards and 11 TDs. So, and he's an Auburn, a one-time Auburn recruit. So, and the other thing that I find interesting, Jeff, is they Kent State is one of only six teams in the FBS that returns at least three receivers who each caught 40 or more passes a year ago. And their receivers, a guy named Antoine Dixon, he wears number 10, and he's really a great story. He's only 5'8". When fans watch him tonight, they'll see a little guy wearing number 10. But this kid missed two full seasons of college football, the 16 and 17 seasons. He wasn't even in school because he had a life-threatening blood disease called aplastic anemia. But he overcame with his weight dropped to as low as 125 pounds.
Wow.
But he got a bone marrow transplant from his father, and he came back last year and played and led the team in receptions with 52. And he is a good player. He's number 10. And then they have a kid, Mike Kerrigan, number 11. He had 45 receptions. And another one, number 23, Isaiah McCoy. He's 6'3". And caught 42 passes a year ago. Those guys will be a good test for a Sun Devil secondary that is kind of like the quarterback position at ASU, young but really talented. And you've heard Herm talk all fall about how the back end may be the strength or may eventually be the strength of this Arizona State defense. So that's a matchup I'm interested to watch. Their receivers against a talented young Sun Devil secondary, and also just anxious to see how Danny Gonzalez's defense is able to, you know, slow down the fast pace of the Kent State offense. And Herm talked about, and this is a great point, another way to slow their offense down is for Arizona State's offense to hog the ball and possess the ball and chew up time on the clock. And that's one of the things that I thought the Devils did really well last year. Herm talked a lot about complementary football, where one unit can help the other. Sometimes the offense can help the defense by possessing the ball and keeping the defense off the field so they're fresher. And I think that's exactly the MO that they've got on both sides of the ball tonight. They want to be able to chew up clock, chew up yards, score points, and take time off the clock and diminish the amount of time that that fast-paced Kent State offense can be out there, so that the Sun Devils defense can be fresher in this 102-degree heat tonight to combat that offense.
And it is Woody Bear. I've had Bennett on the brain for some reason, but that's why we're doing this, so that we can get all these things worked out
before
we get on the air.
Get the kinks out tonight.
Exactly. The Pac-12 South, and we got a ways to go before we get into Pac-12 play, but people are asking me all the time about how many games will ASU win? Where do you think they'll finish? Kirk Herbstreit said last Saturday on ESPN he thinks ASU can play in the Pac-12 title game. Now, Utah is the consensus favorite in the South, but I see this division, Tim, as being Utah's maybe a hair above other teams, but they're not that so far above everybody else that you say, well, you're all playing for second place. I think Utah, ASU, to a lesser extent USC and UCLA, are really going to be in a scrap most of the year, assuming that everybody stays healthy, injuries play into it. But I see the South as being a real Donnybrook that Utah could very well pull away from, but I wouldn't be surprised to see one of the other three schools that I just mentioned push them right to the last weekend of the season.
I agree with you. You know, and keep in mind that Utah, they look really good and loaded, and I've seen some forecasters punching their ticket to the college football playoff. That's how good some people think Utah might be this year. But keep in mind, you know, Utah, most of those guys are back from last year. They have a lot of veterans returning. And they came to Arizona State in early November on the heels of, I think, a four-game winning streak, and they were playing terrific football. And they played really good football after that visit to ASU. But the Sun Devils, in the second half of that game, kind of punched them in the mouth and beat them 38-20. Really, really impressive. That was by far and away, in my opinion, the Sun Devils' best win of last season. Of course, Arizona State did have a senior quarterback and a great receiver in N'Keal Harry. Manny Wilkins and N'Keal both now in the National Football League. But, you know, the Devils more than held their own with Utah in a head-to-head situation last year. So I agree with you. You know, I do think I certainly would favor the Utes. They're physical and tough, and I really admire their coach, Kyle Whittingham. He is he does a great job up there. And every year, even if you know they aren't as highly touted as they are this year, you know what you're going to get from them. They're just going to be physical and absolutely tough and just smack you. And you know you're going to know you've been in a football game after you've played them. So I put them certainly at the top of the division. But boy, after that, it's pick 'em. Everyone thinks UCLA is going to be greatly improved. A, because the fact they finished on an uptick a bit last year, a close effort against Arizona State and an impressive come-from-behind win over their arch-rival USC. And I think because of the Chip Kelly factor, you know, there's so much respect for his ability as a coach that I think a lot of people forecast UCLA to be improved. I don't know that they're going to be good enough to win the division, but I think they will be, you know, a better football team. And, you know, USC always has boatloads of talent. This is a real big year for Clay Helton, their coach. You know, they have a tough opener this weekend. They've got Fresno State.
Oh, yeah.
Coliseum, a Fresno State team that has back-to-back double-digit win seasons, and the Sun Devils got an eye full of them in the Las Vegas Bowl last December. So the Trojans have their hands full this weekend, and I think Arizona State has a chance to be in the mix. And, you know, I wouldn't even, you know, discount the other teams. You know, Arizona, you know, Khalil Tate is a huge talent, and
yes,
they do have a couple of playmakers on defense, and J.J. Taylor's a terrific running back, so you know, they could get back into the swing of things. I do think Colorado, Colorado does have their quarterback, Steven Montez, back. He's a senior and a good one, and maybe the best receiver in the conference in Laviska Shenault.
Agreed.
But this is Mel Tucker's first year, former assistant at Georgia, and you know, I do think this is going to be a bit of a retooling season for the Buffs, but I'm with you. I think the Pac-12 South could be wide open. I certainly think Utah should be and deserves to be the favorite, but who knows, you know. You know, if Jaden Daniels is able to play to his talent level, this could be a really interesting season for Arizona State. The thing I would urge fans to do, besides not putting pressure on Jaden Daniels to be the savior, because, you know, as Rob Likens said, 2 years from now he might be, but right now, you know, he's not, and he can't have that pressure on his shoulders. And yet the coaches at the same time can't resist talking about how special a player they think he is and potentially will be. But I think it'll be interesting as the year unfolds to watch Jaden play and see if the talent shows most or if the experience level shows most. Will he be, you know, showing the inexperience of being a true freshman thrust into a starting job, or is he going to be showing the talent that led him to be named the starting quarterback as a true freshman? And I always think back, Money, to when Michigan, with their Fab Five, five starting freshmen, went to the Final Four in college hoops in 1992. And along the playoff tournament trail at a news conference, their coach, Steve Fisher, was asked about the idea of starting, you know, so many freshmen, all freshmen, and he gave an answer that I've held on to for years and years for situations like this. And Steve said, basically, folks, if it comes down to a point of whether I want talent or experience, give me talent any day of the week. And certainly I think that's the case with the Sun Devils quarterback position in 2019. He's inexperienced, but he's gifted. And boy, if the game can continue to slow down for him and he gets comfortable, could be special to watch this year. It's really going to be fun to not only Jaden Daniels, but there are a lot of other freshmen and a lot of other young guys that are going to be making their debuts tonight for Arizona State, especially in that secondary, and they're talented. And I'm just really anxious to watch these kids grow up. And you know, Herm says that, you know, this is where we are now. We had to build up the depth in this program, and that's why he has created a scenario where, if you know, freshmen come here, if you can play, you will play.
Right.
And,
absolutely.
And that's kind of, to me, I think they ought to put that on a little business card and pass it out when they go and they go recruiting. This should be the mantra of the program: if you can play, you will play. And it doesn't matter if you're, you know, a true freshman. I mean, you look at the depth chart. There are I think there are three or four true freshmen on the depth chart in the secondary. and a safety, Ashari Crosswell, who played as a true freshman last year. And by the end of the year, he ended up making honorable mention all Pac-12 and had four interceptions. And he was terrific in the final month of the season. So it's going to be really fun to watch this young team grow up in front of our eyes.
It will, and it starts tonight. Okay, practice is over. We do it for real starting tonight at 5 o'clock. Tim, appreciate it. I'll see you at the stadium.
Sounds good, Money. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Tim Healy, voice of the Sun Devils. We're on the radio tonight. You can figure out what station. There's only 40 of them in town. We're back with more. I got some quick thoughts about the Pac-12 network that I really haven't talked about before. So if that's not enough of a tease, I don't know what else I can come up with. And it's next on the Brad Sesmatt Show. This is the Brad Sesmatt Show on a Thursday. I'm Jeff Munn for Brad. A couple of things I wanted to talk about, and I'm going to jump around a little bit on Devin, and I apologize, but I want to start just a quick note about baseball, if I can, about this D-backs-Dodgers series that starts tonight. The D-backs are what? And I didn't look at the standings this morning. I think they're still four and a half out, of the second wild card. Look, and now David Peralta is done for the year. I know that it's been said on Twitter that he'll be out 6 weeks. He's out for the year, okay? The season's got 5 weeks left in it. And it's hard to envision a D-backs team without David Peralta getting the second wild card. I know mathematically they're still in it. And even if the Dodgers were to come in and sweep four from the D-backs this weekend, I don't think it doesn't finish them off in terms of the wild card race. There's a good and bad to what's left of the last 5 weeks for the D-backs. They don't have many series left against teams ahead of them in the standings. They have a four-gamer at New York in a couple weeks, and that's pretty much it. They don't play the Phillies again. They don't play the Cubs. They do have the four with the Cardinals. I beg your pardon. I think it's a four-game series, the last week of the regular season. But again, the Cardinals are in first place in the Central. I really can see them kind of closing out. They could put a death grip on the Cubs here for the NL Central very shortly. In any event, the rest of the schedule is loaded with teams they should be able to handle on paper. And the good and the bad of that is you should win those games, but you're not playing the teams ahead of you, and it's a little tougher to make up ground. So, yes, they're in it, and it'll be an interesting. The other thing I'm going to point out real quick about this weekend, don't forget what took place the last time these teams met, that little Friday night skirmish and extra innings at Dodger Stadium. I guarantee you the Dodgers haven't forgotten it. And Archie Bradley's going to get in there and pitch sometime this weekend. And if you think the Dodgers have forgotten all about the little thing Archie Bradley did, guess again, kids. It could be the fireworks could be starting tonight instead of tomorrow. I'm assuming they're doing fireworks tomorrow, right? They always do it on Friday nights. But in any event, there's that. Let's talk a little bit about, let's transition back to football for a second. Brad talks, I'm just going to say this. He bangs on the Pac-12 network a lot. Doesn't like their content. Doesn't like the lack of distribution of the network, which I get. I do have the Pac-12 network, both the national and the Arizona channel, on my cable package at home. I'm not totally crazy about everything the network does. Summertime is really tough on the Pac-12 network. It's tough on all the conference TV networks. But Pac-12 Arizona has rerun and rerun and rerun and rerun every ASU U of A game they televised last year. And it's tough because what else are you going to put on the air? I've said for the longest time, what Pac-12 Network needs is a show along the lines of a Paul Feinbaum show, a live show they can do every day where a guy talks about the Pac-12. Monday through Friday, summer, fall, spring, winter, doesn't matter. But Brad talks quite a bit about the Pac-12 Network is not doing enough in terms of helping Pac-12 football. And I really wish I could debate this with him, and I will at some point. But there's something about that I think needs to be brought to light about conference TV networks in general, whether it's the brand new ACC network, the SEC network, Big Ten, or Pac-12. To my knowledge, the Big 12 doesn't officially have a network. Most of their TV is still with the Fox Sports Net regional carriers. But let's talk about those four conferences and their TV networks. Most of the time, they are getting football games that are not all that impactful on the national level. Okay? If you have Alabama play LSU, that's going to CBS. If you have Auburn playing Florida, that's going to the main ESPN. The SEC network's going to get Arkansas Vanderbilt. The Big Ten network is going to get, I'm trying to think here, Illinois against Nebraska. The ACC network's going to end up with a game like Wake Forest against NC State. And Pac-12 network is going to get the mid-level to the bottom. So is it really fair to criticize Pac-12 network or any other conference TV network if it doesn't help promote the conference? I don't think it's fair because they're not getting. Look, when Utah goes to Washington, that's not on Pac-12 network, gang. It ain't happening. The impact of a conference TV network is most felt in the non-revenue sports. You ask any of the coaches that I deal with in women's basketball as to why the Pac-12 or the Pac-10 used to be Stanford, ASU, and nobody else. And now it's considered to be the toughest women's basketball conference in the country. And if you ask any of the coaches what changed things, they will unanimously tell you the Pac-12 network. Same thing for any of the other baseball, softball, any of the non-revenue sports. That's where a conference TV network has its greatest impact. It's not in football and men's hoops. Every once in a while, a men's basketball game will slip through the cracks and end up on a conference TV network. But most of the time, the big games are going to the big networks. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, and tonight's football game is on Pac-12 Network, ASU Kent State. And look, if you don't have Pac-12 Network and you're frustrated by that, I get it. Come over to my place. I won't leave a key under the door, but I shouldn't even say that. But just the same, hopefully you'll get a chance to buy a ticket and go in person. Have fun tonight. We're back with Goody. And we're going to talk about football broadcast teams and about a former ASU football player who's making it big in Hollywood. That's next on the Brad Sesmatch Show. Well, they're sure not playing that music for me, so it must be Bill Gutekunst's time on the Brad Sesmatch Show. It is Thursday, and it's time for our weekly visit with AZ Central and Gannett chief film and media critic Bill Gutekunst. I'm thinking, they're not doing that for me. It must be Goody must be on. First of all, you back from Dallas?
I'm back.
I know what part of your trip. I know what you were doing Saturday, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But I'm glad. I'm assuming the rest of the trip went well.
It did. I have two kids in school there now, and as I said last week, set up for maximum inconvenience for parents. They reported 10 days apart.
Yeah.
15 hours away. Yeah. But everybody's there. We're back. School has started. College has started. And knock wood. As far as I know, all is good.
Oh, that's excellent. All right. Now, you had an interview with a former ASU wide receiver. Now, I know the story on this. Isaiah Mustafa he's an actor now. And he is well known. Now, the public may not latch onto this, but a lot of us, you and I, have figured this out. He has made a name for himself in these Old Spice commercials, and it's just it's phenomenal. Yeah. the kind of attention he's gotten. And now he's going to star in a movie, right?
He's done some movies. He was a regular on a TV show, but he's not just starring in any movie. He is starring in It Chapter 2, which is one of the biggest movies of the year. The first, it's the second part of It, based on the Stephen King novel. And the first one is the biggest, the highest-grossing horror film of all time. So, this isn't just like the Old Spice guy gets lucky. I mean, this is the boy did get lucky. This is huge. And I mean, the other cast members are like Joel Edgerton, Bill Hader, Jessica Chastain. I mean, this is as big time as it gets.
Well, listen. Playing college football, then turning to acting is a path to success. Just ask Burt Reynolds.
Yeah. And then who else?
Yeah. I don't know who else, but, Fred Dreyer, Merlin Olsen, I don't know, but they weren't in the movies. It's just a quick thought before we. I want to get into this stuff about the telecast last Saturday. I have one other thing I got to vent about with you, but he's really an interesting story, Isaiah Mustafa, because you're right, he is an excellent actor.
Oh, and he's also, I mean, he's just got an interesting story all the way around. Before his senior year, he got into some kind of confrontation with an assistant coach, and he hardly played at all his senior year, which just happened to be the year that they went undefeated and went to the Rose Bowl and lost, you know, in the last, I was there,
right.
I was at the game covering it. But he did play in that game. But he talked about, he said that was, it actually, it worked out. He tried out for some teams. He got, you know, he made a few taxi, they used to call them taxi squads. He made a few practice squads. But he, you know, he never actually played in an NFL game, in a real NFL game. But he said it all worked out. And then, you know, you hear people say this. He said, yeah, obviously, he would not have gotten into acting, but he got away. He's still in great shape, obviously, if you've ever seen those commercials. And he got out, with, you know, his head's fine. He said, as far as he knows, he doesn't have any concussions. But I told him, I said, when we talked, I said, there's certainly no reason for you to ever remember this, but I covered that team when you were there. And he said, oh, did we talk about how many passes I dropped or something?
He's an interesting story, and you're right. He didn't see a lot of the field in 96 when ASU went unbeaten, went to the Rose Bowl. I want to talk, the thing I was going to vent about, and I'm going to put it off to the side, and the next time we visit, we'll talk about it. I'll just tease you this much. I hated all of the ABC game shows that ran this summer. Hated every one of them. All Elizabeth Banks did during Pressure Luck was scream at people, you have five spins! Thank you. Okay, calm down. I hated every one of them. Well, let's talk about it later. You watched.
She's a funny person. She's a good director too. It's too bad.
Is she direct? I didn't know that. I couldn't stand those shows. Joel McHale was awful on Card Sharks. Alec Baldwin needs to stop doing Match Game. Get somebody who knows what they're doing. Anyway, and Michael Strahan of the Pyramid. I can't do it. I cannot do it. Give me Dick Clark. In the condition
truly,
Dick Clark is in right now. Give me Dick Clark.
Well, I don't know about that, but truly, joking around a little bit about it, and we'll talk about it later, but that truly, hosting a game show is kind of a lost art.
And it is.
It is so much harder than it looks.
Yeah.
And you know why? It's because the ones who are good at it make it look easy.
Yeah, and they make a lot of money. You watched the Cardinals-Vikings game on NFL Network last Saturday, and I know you were not real happy. It was the Vikings telecast, and I assume they do like the Cardinals do, where they move their radio crew to television and have them do TV in the preseason. And you wrote a column about it. I read it, and predictably, Viking fans were not happy with it. Just talk about that for a second, and I want to follow it up.
Okay. Well, what I thought was going to happen was I was going to get the NFL national broadcast. I was in Dallas. And I'm not sure why Dallas got the local Minnesota people. I mean, why them and not Phoenix? I have no idea. But that's what I got. And it was still interesting. Mostly, it's interesting to me because I want to see what other people are saying about Kyler Murray and about Kingsbury, you know, and how that's going. But they were such homers and don't get me wrong. I mean, we've talked about this a lot before. Dave Pascheron, Wolfley, there's never any question that they work for the Cardinals. You always know that they're a Cardinal broadcast, but I don't think they're big homers that way. You know,
no,
they don't
they're not.
Say things like they don't say we, and they don't say, you know, like they don't, you know, occasionally they will they'll bemoan a bad call or something like that, but they'll do it for both sides. They'll, you know, they'll sort of laugh and say, whoa, the Cardinals got away with one there, you know, or something like that. And these guys, and Paul Allen has been doing it, he's good, he's funny, but it was just so it was like you were listening to like a high school game or something. Or even, I mean, like if the ASU radio broadcast, they tend to be kind of homers too. I like Tim Healy; he's a good guy, he's good at his job. But he sometimes goes sort of the homer route a little bit. But it's for a college broadcast. This was a Minnesota team that knew they were going to have, you know, a bigger audience. They knew that they were going to have at least partially a national audience, and they promised in the second quarter we're going to dive deep into figuring out who's going to be the third string running back this year. I was just like, oh,
wow.
I should probably not be watching this.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Dorm room.
Yeah.
Well, but
Go ahead.
But boy, did I hear from it.
Well,
I heard from their fan base. Woo!
Let me explain, and because I will glance at NFL preseason games the NFL Network carries. They originate very few. They're just picking up. It's like what MLB Network does. They pick up the local telecast, and they just run it on NFL Network. So NFL Network does not produce its own telecast most of the time of preseason games. So that's why you got the Minnesota feed. Now, they could have easily taken the Cardinal feed as well, but and I can't tell you why they chose one over the other. But that's why they do. But that's why it ends up that way. And I will say this, too, and you're right. I don't think Pash and Wolfley are over the top about it, and I appreciate that fact, both as a listener, as a fan, and as a broadcaster. I appreciate the fact that, yes, they do work for the Cardinals. They want the Cardinals to win, but they don't stuff it down your throat. I've always said this from a different perspective, and I'm not disputing what you're saying, Bill, but I've always tried to tell people what we do as team broadcasters. When I worked for the D-backs, I was not doing journalism. You're a journalist, and if you were to go and write a game story for the paper, for the Republic on a D-backs game, you're a journalist. When I was working for the D-backs, I was an extension of the marketing department. Now, that doesn't mean that I go on the air and say the D-backs are the 27 Yankees. But certainly, I'm not going to be a homer. I'm not going to lie to the audience and try to make them think something's there when it's not. But am I going to emphasize the positive aspects of coming to a game, buying a hot dog? Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I think a lot of times. And again, I'm not being critical of you, because you're right. Most NFL broadcast teams are completely, thoroughly over the top. It's not just the Vikings. I can name you about 15 different teams that their radio crews are just, they have no idea that there's another team on the field.
Well, you know, but I was thinking about this a little bit, and maybe, I don't know that this is the case, but maybe this is why. Because when you're talking about Pash and Wolfley, the Cardinals, you know, when you get to the end of the season, they've had, for the bulk of their time here, they haven't been very good. I mean, they've had a couple magical seasons, but they're usually out of the playoffs by the time the end of the season rolls around. And at that point, you know, they can't really, you know, what are you rooting for? So they don't have to do that. I wonder if the Cardinals had sustained success, if it would be different.
I you know what? My feeling is no. The year that they went to the Super Bowl, they didn't go to extremes. They continued to maintain that kind of same approach. And so, and I think we're very lucky here. And that leads into something, and I hate to do this to you, but I'm going to ask you to do it in 15 seconds. I think this market is really lucky. If you think about the talent in broadcasters that have come through this market over the years, Dave Pash, Tom Brenneman, and the guys that, I mean, and the legacy guys, I still say Al McCoy at this point is still, if not the best, one of the best play-by-play guys in the NBA.
And he's in the Hall of Fame.
And I will include a dear departed friend of mine, Tom Dillon. We've had some really great broadcasters come through this town, and sometimes I wonder, and this is what I want the 15-second comment on, sometimes I wonder if the fans really know how good they've had it.
No, because how could they? I think that unless you travel a lot, and you've traveled a lot with teams and stuff, and you've been exposed to a lot of things, and you have an interest in it, you look around a lot. You hear a lot of different things. You see a lot of different things. I think that the typical fan here only hears, unless they're Cubs fans or something, you know, that's
right.
A little bit different story.
Right.
But I think that you get what you get, and you get used to it. And then I think maybe that was one of the things that kind of shocked me when I heard these Minnesota guys. It's like, you have, like, probably the most, you know, talked about player in the entire league on the Cardinals over here, and you got him for one half. Maybe you ought to talk a little more about him than the third string running back for Minnesota.
Right. Right, and you're right. They probably weren't taking into account at all what audience they were talking to. I am out of time. We will discuss these matters, including how much I hate the ABC game shows, the next time we visit. Thank you, sir. Have a good weekend.
You too.
All righty. Bill Gutekunst, AZ Central Gannett, Chief Film and Media Critic. Big weekend of football. ASU, the Cardinals, and lots of high school football, and you can keep track of it all right at this website, sports360az.com. If I'm wrong about that, you can call me. But trust me, I'm not wrong. You'll get all the football information you need, local, right here this weekend. And you better be back here Monday for the Brad Cesmat Show, because I'm taking attendance. Have a nice weekend.